On today's episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I give a 2021 season retrospective and a look back into Shane Beamer's first year as head coach, give my six-pack of picks, and a quick look into the rest of the season for the Gamecocks. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 15 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And happy Halloween! So spooky. Happy bye week, Gamecock fans. You know, it's just a good time to take a breath, to enjoy some candy, and to enjoy the bye week. I don't know if any of y'all have different rituals or things that you normally like to do when the Gamecocks don't play, but for me, I'm just going to sit my ass on the couch, really not change a whole heck of a lot. Drink a couple beers, have some chicken wings, chase some bets, and at the end of the night, I'm not stressed, I'm not too happy, I'm not too sad, and then we're good to go. But at the same time, I think I might already kind of miss it. Because it's fun doing the previews, it's fun looking ahead to a game and getting together with friends, but regardless, I think it will be a welcome break for all of us. And it is a little sad to think, though, that there's only four games left. I hate to be that guy to bring it up. It's really, really kind of shitty, but we definitely have to make the most of it. Let's drink and be merry. And I guess I should say be as merry as we can, right? It has been a bit of a struggle at times up and down this season, but hey, we have games. I'll take any football. It's just the best time of year. I mean, we have a lot of sports to be proud of at USC. But I think I'm not alone in saying that football season is just, it hits different. It's just that special time of year where one day out of the week, you and your friends, you know what you're doing. We're all watching the same thing. A lot of times we are together, and it's just something that draws a lot of attention and just that, that school spirit. But since it is a bye week, I did want to update a few things as far as related to the podcast. This episode, we're going to cover a retrospective of Shane Beamer's tenure at USC through this point in the season. If we have time, we'll go over what's in store for those last few games of the season. I'm still going to do a six-pack of picks. Just because we're off doesn't mean the rest of the country is. There's some great matchups this weekend. And maybe give an update as to what I'm thinking as the landscape of college football shapes out this season. And then Monday, there will be no show. So the football team's taking a day off this weekend. I'm going to take a day off as well. Not going to record on Sunday for Monday. So it's going to be today. And then there will be next Friday show to preview the Florida game. But before we jump into all that, hey, it's the Friday show. We're going to review this week in Gamecock Athletics. Couple updates for y'all. Men's soccer, we tied Kentucky 0-0. That game was actually last Saturday. Women's volleyball, we beat Alabama 3-0. Let's go, ladies. And women's soccer beat Alabama 4-0. So Alabama, the tie, just getting dragged by South Carolina across multiple sports. They're scared of us. Just going to say it. Women's basketball, a couple of nice shout-outs here. Zaya Cook, she was named to the preseason All-SEC first team by the lead coaches. Expecting a big season out of her. And then, no surprise here, Aaliyah Boston, she was also named to that same list, preseason All-SEC, but also to the AP preseason All-American team. And it's just going to be an exciting season. I think we all feel it. Last year, we were so close in the Final Four, came down to that last second Boston miss. But you know what? It's okay. This team battled all season long last year. And I think I saw that for this upcoming season, they sold about 9,000 season tickets. So everybody is expecting big things. Everyone wants to be in Colonial Life to see that. And it's just really exciting to see. I mean, we are a legitimate powerhouse, a national powerhouse in women's basketball. There's only a few schools that can say they're a powerhouse in anything, and we're one of them. And then for both men's and women's basketball season, that season kicks off in about a week and a half, y'all. So I'm going to figure out how to balance both whenever, or all three, I should say, when the sports are rolling. It probably will still be focused on football during football season. That is my favorite sport. And late season games versus early season games of basketball, kind of different priorities there. And we're going to figure that out. But that will be fun to cover and update y'all, as always. Speaking of football, though, we do have a couple updates there. Florida game, that was announced to be at 7:30. I mean, there's some people out there who are like, oh, like, let's just have the earlier games. You're making me wait for the torture. Hey, a night game in Williams-Brice, it is electric. If you're in Columbia, that is a top matchup. I mean, you get to see Florida. It's going to be a great time. And I'm expecting, you know, maybe a closer game. Who knows? Other news, if you've been living under a rock, this may be your first time hearing this, but the news that broke earlier was that Zeb Nolan, he had that procedure done on his knee. The coaches, they said he's going to be available, whatever that means, for the Florida game. Beamer talked about he was moving, he meaning Zeb, was moving well a couple of days after the surgery, but I don't know. Anytime you get a procedure done on your knee, nonetheless, I don't think you're going to be super available, but this could give the opportunity for Jason Brown to start the Florida game. I mean, we saw him come in at the end of the A&M game, and he had a couple of appearances earlier in the year as well, coupled by a good spring game. And at this point, why not let JB sling it? I mean, really, what do we have to lose? Zeb is not like you're building for the future here. JB, you might as well see what you got with the kid. He's a little bit more mobile. He showed that with the rollout against A&M. He can throw on the run. So I don't know. And we didn't have any formal press conferences this week like there normally are. I think that's because of the bye. So that's my B. I said I was going to report on that fully and update y'all. I felt so official saying that. That's just not the case. So my fault. I'll do that on next Tuesday, though. I will report officially. But with all that being said, let's take a step back and do a bit of a retrospective on Carolina season to this point, as well as Shane Beamer's early tenure. So really, this podcast was started because of the Shane Beamer hire. Obviously, I started everything when the football season kicked off, a couple delays here and there. But when South Carolina decided to turn the page and hire a new coach and start a new chapter, I said to myself, you know what, if they can do a new chapter, so can I. And so that brings me here. But I wasn't able to comment much on the Shane Beamer hire, the whole process, and everything he brought to the table. And I just think it's important to remind ourselves the state of South Carolina football before he ever took over, right? We were essentially on a two-year downward spiral with very little hope and optimism. Fans were splintered as to what do you do with Muschamp? Should we got rid of him in 2019 for 2020 with the buyout, this and that? Obviously, he was fired. We had multiple guys transfer. Some opted out. Some went into the NFL. There was even nasty interactions between the players and fans on Twitter. And it truly felt like the program had lost its way. So not only did Beamer have to fix the culture inside the locker room, but he also had to change the attitude and narrative for the fans. And I think he has done a pretty good job to this point of that. I mean, even the national media has started to recognize the change in attitude that surrounds the South Carolina football program. But let me make this clear. I really do think that Shane is the man for the job. He obviously had a different type of background, was a little bit of a different hire with not being a coordinator, but I think he also brings a different type of attitude to South Carolina that we haven't seen in a long time, really, if ever. I mean, Lou Holtz came to South Carolina, he was already a legend. Came, left his mark. Steve Spurrier came to South Carolina, he was already a legend. He wanted to prove the doubters wrong who said nobody could win at South Carolina. He said that, I want to do that. I'm above that narrative. I am better. He 1,000% proved that and then some, and he's going to be forever remembered as such. Will Muschamp, He came to South Carolina very far from a legend, but as a guy that probably wanted to say, you know, F you to the media and everyone that wrote him off after he was fired at Florida. He was basically saying, I am better than that. I'm better than that narrative. I just have to use South Carolina football as the medium to do so. Shane Beamer comes to South Carolina, and he's saying that he is the man to lead us to wins. He wants to take our program to heights that we know it can be, right? He's not here as another stop on an established career. He's not here to stick it to the haters. His approach, in my opinion, has been genuine, and one where he is a new school coach who can relate to these players differently, but he also understands the role that the head football coach plays at an SEC school. He goes to the other sporting events, right? He and his family were spotted at softball games, baseball games. He's giving shout-outs in his press conferences about the golf team, the soccer team, the tennis team. He's not just worrying about himself. He's not in a silo, bunkered down in the facilities, worrying about one aspect of USC. Football's a big aspect, but it's just one aspect. It's part of a huge, huge whole. You see his family and the other coaches' families. They're at the facility. They're making it a better working environment. He wants his staff to feel comfortable. And what that's also doing is making it a destination to work and coach at the University of South Carolina. When he talks to the media, when Beamer talks with the fans, you see that he really wants to succeed. You see his passion, and he wants to instill good values in his program. Now, seeing all that transpired in the offseason, two things happened to me. One, my expectations for how our team were going to do this season were raised to a level higher than they would have been if Will Muschamp was still our coach. And two, I kind of forgot just how poorly managed this roster was and just how underdeveloped the roster had been under Will Muschamp. And so in many ways, I think that Shane, he has succeeded in the sense of that he has brought optimism and hope back to our program, right? I think people can relate to him. I think people like him. I think fans and players see his vision and have largely bought in. But the other side to that coin, though, is that with optimism and hope come expectations to win, especially if many of our fans, myself included, put aside and forgot just how bad shape this program was in when he took over. So, flash forward to today. We're sitting at 4-4 at the bye week with four games to go. Now, in the grand scheme of things, this is probably where an outsider would have picked South Carolina to be at this point. Vegas had our win total at 3.5 to 4, depending on where you got it. Now, part of me wants to say, hey, we've won every game we were favored in. We've matched our 2019 win total, which was a team that had a much more deep and much more talented roster. We also have a first-year and first-time head coach. So, for all intents and purposes, this has been a step in the right direction, and we are making progress, however small it may be. That's what part of me thinks. But it just quite doesn't feel that way, right? And what I think the main source of frustration is how we have lost. Those four losses, it's not that irks me, it's how. Where we got beat real bad by Tennessee, kind of embarrassed, and we just got crushed by A&M, there hasn't been a real progression, I feel like, from the start of the season to now. If anything, you could make an argument that some parts of the team have almost regressed. And I think that is leading to people turn their frustrations to some people on the coaching staff. So defensively, going to give some overall stats here for both sides of the ball here. Defensively, we rank 8th in the SEC in points allowed with 24.5. Now that stat, in my opinion, is the bottom line any defense should care about. How many points are you giving up per game? So we're only 1 point behind Arkansas for 7th, so essentially middle of the pack in the SEC, and just slightly below middle of the pack in yards per game. We're ninth in the SEC with 346 yards given up per game. And really, the defense, in my opinion, has been the biggest pleasant surprise of the season. We're creating turnovers, keeping us in games, and we've had several years since we have had a defense we could really be proud of in Columbia, and I think we have that once again. Now, on offense, we rank second to last in the SEC in points scored with just shy of 21. We haven't even touched 21. We also are second to last in the SEC in total yards per game with 328. Now, obviously, the offensive struggles have been the storyline of late and kind of through the 2021 season. If you want to hear my real impassioned opinion on this, listen to the last episode, the A&M recap. I give my true thoughts on what I think is going on there, but we can talk all day about how this offense was designed for a healthy Luke Doty and how we never had that. And we can talk all day about how we might not have the depth that we once had and things like that. But at the end of the day, coaches should be adaptable. And I just feel like we have not seen that. But as stated earlier, I am a fan and believer in what Shane Beamer can and is bringing to Columbia. But how he handles this offensive struggles could determine a lot about how his tenure works out here, honestly. Should he replace the offensive coordinator? Should he replace just the offensive line coach? Should he replace both? Should he stay put for the sake of continuity? I don't know. If depth is our problem, I want to see him hit the transfer portal hard for Power 5 caliber players, guys who are here to make an impact immediately. We've seen that happen at programs lately where you bring a handful of guys in, transfers, and they are a stopgap for you to succeed in the short term while you develop your talent behind them. So all in all, to this point, I think the Shane Beamer era, very on brand for South Carolina. He says he loves being a Gamecock. Well, he is sure proving it because it has been a roller coaster. And that is typically how our football program goes. I think the intangibles that he is bringing, like the positivity, resiliency, those culture changes, they're being felt this year, but they're going to be felt more in years 2, 3, and beyond. He and the staff, I mean, they've shown they can be strong recruiters. Hopefully our class for 2022 stays strong, and hopefully we can pick up a couple more solid guys who can be impact players right away. But on the other side of things, the on-field performance, it has lagged behind those expectations that he brought in, and it's led to some frustration. Obviously, there are some question marks that are going to linger to the end of the season and probably beyond until we have a firm answer. But at the end of the day, he is our head coach, and I believe in him. I think he has some growing to do with in-game strategy, but I think that will come. I think the most important thing that he brings to our program right now is the belief that we can once again compete for the top spot in the East. And I have found, at least in my life, when you believe in something and you want something, you fight extra hard for it. So let's hope we can end the season with a little momentum that will allow Beamer and company to continue building this thing to where we all want it to be. Now, speaking of next season, a little short on time here, but we got 4 games left. Florida's the first one after the bye. I'm looking at what I'm calling the Tiger stretch. So that's Missouri, Auburn, and Clemson. All Tigers, real original name, guys. Way to go. If we are going to find wins and momentum, it starts with Mizzou in my mind. I think we can hang with them. I penciled that as a probably can win at the start of the year. Now, the question is, though, would 5-7 be a success wherever you find it? Does 5-7 with that win against Missouri feel different than 5-7 against the win versus Clemson? It probably does feel different. SEC win versus rival win, right? What do we need to see to feel confident other than wins? I don't know. Only time will tell. Speaking of time, it is time for the 6-pack of picks. And then we will wrap this bad boy up. All right. Real quick here. My ACC, we're going Duke at Wake Forest. Going with the Dukies again, but we're going Wake Forest minus 16. That game is at 4. Big 10. This is the game, probably the game of the noon slate. Michigan at Michigan State. I went back and forth on this. Back and forth. I'm going with Michigan State Sparty plus 4. I think Michigan might win, but I think that might be a field goal or less. Big 12, going to buck the trend here with the Big 12. Texas at Baylor under. Not the Big 12 over, under 61.5. That game is at noon. Pac-12, Colorado at Oregon. I think Oregon, I had very similar last week. We're going over 49. I think Colorado, they can score just enough. Oregon will do the rest. SEC, I have to go with this one. The world's largest outdoor cocktail party, UGA versus Florida, over 51. Everyone's thinking defense with these guys. I think this could be sneaky where it climbs up to 51. That's actually not that many points, really. And then group of five, give me UTEP, University of Texas, El Paso, plus 11 at Florida Atlantic, 6 p.m. UTEP is electric. I can't believe they're getting that many points. Finally, going with UTEP. But with that, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social. Twitter is Cox, Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. Please like and subscribe to the pod. And if you are listening on Apple, do me a favor. Leave me a review. Let me know what you think. I saw there's a couple out there. I appreciate that for those who did. Let's keep it going. I want to take your thoughts and make this show as good as it can be. And reminder, no show on Monday. Taking a day off just like the team is. But with that, go Cox. See you later.